edition of Two Peas in a Podcast, and they said it wouldn't last, but look at us. It's practically an anniversary special. So I'm Michelle, and hello.
And I'm Trevor, and hello. And I thought that we might talk about herbs, it being probably the best way to introduce yourself to gardening. And the reason for that is that herbs are very easy to grow. They cost a lot in the supermarket because you end up throwing a lot of them away. And they smell absolutely delightful in the kitchen. I do a bit of cooking, and whenever I'm cooking with herbs, I don't think I've ever met someone who could resist the smell of herbs.
No. I love growing herbs because even I can grow herbs. And also, I feel terribly posh going out and cutting. I think I might have said to you earlier this week, Trevor, when you go out and get a beautiful handful of herbs, that smell, and I do love cooking, and I do use herbs a lot in my cooking, throwing just a beautiful handful of oregano or marjoram with garlic, tomato, put it over some pasta or some vegetables, and you're right, you just cannot resist them.
Yeah, I think although I don't watch the TV cooking programs much, they both have fresh herbs, and they both go out the back and they pick them. And I think that's a good starting point. If you know all the chefs are going to include fresh herbs in their cooking, and you know that they cost a lot. I mean, sometimes you get a recipe that requires three lots of herbs, or you have to go down to the supermarket and buy three cellophane sachets. It costs $12, so you haven't started to buy the main ingredients yet, and they won't last more than 2 days. So you're pretty well stuck with having to grow your own herbs, even if you're time poor, don't want to do gardening. You know, you're bringing up a family full of kids, you're working all day long, or you're getting old, or even if you just want to grow something in your backyard so it doesn't look like a pile of dust, well then herbs are other ones, you know.
I totally agree. I mean, you just get those seedlings that you can get really easily from the nursery. You can put 4 or 5 herbs in a big pot, can't you, right by the back door. So even if you're lazy or it's wintry or whatever, just water them regularly, pick them, and anything even slightly edible. I mean, vegetables are fantastic, but herbs are inexpensive to grow, which is ironic seeing as they're so expensive to buy. They do last a long time. That's one thing I've certainly noticed. I mean, I've got, you know, in the garden at the moment, and it's just going crazy. Now, I've been picking that for 6 months, and it's fine. Like, it doesn't ever really die back. Some of them do, but a lot of them don't, which is fantastic. So
I think it's a good place to start. I do agree that, forget seeds, you're going to have to buy the initial punnet, the nursery, and you're going to have to improve the soil a bit. I would suggest you put in a bit of compost or a bit of manure. Don't go over the top. They don't necessarily need it, but you don't want to live a life where you regret having poor soil. You know, they will grow in poor soil and they will grow without water. In fact, I was reading this week that the main reason for sage and thyme being killed is that people overwater them. So those two in particular, just watch it. I think water them in. Probably come back next day, give them a bit of water, but then just lay off. They probably only need water twice a week, and after they've established themselves, well, probably not at all, because perhaps twice a week. And the other thing you said there about the way they grow, they actually ground covers and they will take root. So as they extend along the ground, they'll root in the ground. And so if you're not using enough of them, you're kind of forced to pull them up each year and divide them, put them in pots when you divide them and give them to all your family, tell them about how good the herbs are. Because you will get lots, you know. You use them and for a start you won't have enough. But then when they establish, you'll probably have more than you can use. Because you, let's face it, you only use them once a week. Sometimes, you know, you use them more in season.
I would use basil's one that I would copious amounts of, but you're right, because I've got sage at the moment and I love sage, and you've made me realise I've probably killed my sage with kindness, and I've been far too busy lately to water it heaps, and it's thanking me by multiplying in truckloads. And the other day I made put sage through some stuffing for some mushrooms, which I just love. But honestly, what did I pick? Maybe 5 or 6 leaves. So you're right, you don't need a lot. And some of those grey-leaved, and well, I suppose the rosemary and things like that too, they're quite easy to dry.
Yep.
So, but you don't bother. You really don't bother with dried herbs when you've got fresh ones
in your garden.
I mean, there's no point really because you just have what's in season.
When it comes to growing herbs, you can grow them in pots, in raised beds or in the ground. They don't need exceptional soil, but just give them something to improve friability and moisture retention and drainage. They do require full sun. You can plant them practically any time, although spring and autumn's the normal time, but prune them. You've got to harvest them a lot, and if you don't, you're really going to find yourself renewing them each year, probably pulling them up in winter, taking them all out, dividing up those that have got roots on them, putting the old one back, and having three or four pots that you've made for your family for Christmas or whatever. So most of the herbs are like that. There are thousands of herbs. There's more herbs than veggies, I reckon.
I agree.
In fact, there's some things that are both. There are things like fennel that is by his description. It could be either.
Fennel is actually one of those really unusual herbs that is finally gaining a bit more in popularity lately, whereas that was another vegetable that we grew up eating a lot of, which, fabulous thing about herbs, using a lot of medicinally. My opa used to always say fennel for the kennel. So we used to boil the water, put it on the fennel leaves, and then use the spray on the cats and dogs to keep the fleas at bay. So fennel is certainly gaining in popularity, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I think they do have healthy properties. Their history, we know they started out as poisons. They developed into medicines. Because the human body has become used to them, that medicinal effect has diluted. I still think of them as being health-giving. I think if you're talking antioxidants, and if you get a herb book, you should get a herb book, they're everywhere, but you'll find that all of them list properties that they have, and many of them are health-giving type of medicines as well as everything else. So you've got the aroma, flavour, the health-giving properties and the cost savings, and these are all pretty well established. They're not rumour anymore. They're more or less part of folklore. The drug companies are actually using the herbs in part of their drugs for various purposes.
Yeah, no, for a minute that, you know, if you've got some life-threatening disease,
yeah,
eating sage is going to cure it.
Yeah.
But we are certainly saying that with any kind of healthy diet, some sense of helping and healthiness in what we are eating.
Well, they often say that smell is 50% of the flavour, and so they do induce you to eat healthily because that's the combination of them plus veggies and meat are very favourable, so your appetite will improve, but whether that's good or not, I'm not sure.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know that I need my appetite to improve, but then again, you know, it's part of that kind of experience of food. So what are some of the herbs you think we should be growing?
Well, everyone's favourite is summer herb, so it's six-month herb. It will only last for summer. As soon as the cold weather comes in, turn brown on you. But basil is the principal ingredient of pesto. Pesto.
Oh, my God. I know. I could literally eat pesto every single day. As my son said to me the other week, you know, we don't have to have pesto with everything. And I said, I know we don't have to, but I want to. I don't know what it is for me. It's the smell. I love the smell. So yeah. I will take a little salad to work and I'll have the separate dressing and I'll put like a tablespoon of the pesto through the dressing.
Oh,
and you know, I'll take the lid off the glass jar to pour it on the salad dressing. Middle of the day, bit stressed out, you know, and then you've got this smell of this pesto and suddenly you're just happy. I'm a huge fan of basil. I absolutely love it.
Don't buy pesto from the supermarket.
No,
make
gosh,
it at
no.
home because your basil plant will grow into a small bush. It's not that difficult. It's a bit like growing lettuce. It grows beautifully. It grows big. It will try to go to seed on you, but just keep picking off the flowering head and you'll get a heap of it. It'll be a beautiful bush and it goes very well with tomatoes. So you almost have to have it from that point of view, and I think everyone who has it wants it, so it's addictive as well. So basil wins.
Well, I've definitely got basil growing, and I mean, as you know, Trevor, your wife Nita makes hands down the best pesto. I've always said in my deathbed, I'm
second best, don't forget.
Oh, sorry, after you, Trevor, definitely the second best. And one thing something I do as well, so I can have a bit of it in winter, and the flavour isn't as strong.
Mm.
But when you've got lots of it, because I know you've given me bunches of it, I just put it straight in the freezer. And then if I make something, I just crumple the dry freezes the leaves,
yep.
and I'll crumple it through something.
Mm.
It's not as strong a flavour or smell as the fresh, but you still get that lovely bit of summer in the middle of winter, which is fantastic.
You can freeze it if you add salt between the layers of basil leaf and then cover the whole thing in olive oil. That does work. It works as a frozen all year round. So I think that's enough about basil.
I know, but you can tell what our favourite is. Let's talk about the lesser herbs. All right, what else do you...
Well, parsley. I mean, parsley, I don't have to introduce because everyone knows it. There's two sorts. There is the curly leaf, which is sharp on your palate. It's not as soft as the other one, but it's really good. It's the best flavour for soup.
You can't go past curly leaf for tabbouleh.
That's a lot. Of course, the Italian flat leaf. I mean, it's used in salads and as a garnish to make everything a little bit fresher. It is good for halitosis, I think they call it.
You eat a very garlicky meal and you have a mouth parsley after,
mm.
it gets rid of that garlic smell, which is why they originally had garlic as a garnish.
Mm.
It wasn't to make the plate look pretty. The idea was that you ate it afterwards to freshen your breath.
I like the parsley.
Parsley.
Parsley, right.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? And I was just a bit like, oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, I've grown so much of it that, well, I've used it as greens too, so if you just have really lacking in silver beef, you substitute parsley, it's just as good.
I eat big handfuls of parsley through salads and things like that. It's fabulous.
And once again, it grows as a big shrub. It's got a hell of a root system to it. It does need water and it does need a bit of good soil and a bit of treatment. But I mean, one of the things I would like to establish is that once you take up gardening, it's not going to be a process, it's going to be a lifetime process. So these things are not being done really after you've got a good basil and a good parsley growing in your herb bed. You change, you turn over to being a garden devotee because of what you're getting out of it and the benefits from it. So hundreds of herbs to get through today because literally all of them are good.
They are fabulous. So what are a few? Can I tell you which one I love? I mean, yes, you've got the rosemary. I absolutely love sage. I know sage, and you know what else I love is coriander, which honestly, I don't think there is any herb that incites as much passion as coriander. People either love it or hate it, you know. Whereas I absolutely love coriander. I make coriander pesto, which I love. I make a handful of rocket, a handful of coriander, and I make it like a pesto. Oh, it is so good, Trevor. Piece of fish, excellent. But sage, a friend years ago introduced me to sage in the pan, kind of wait till the sage goes a bit black.
Mm.
Gosh, anything. I chuck it over vegetables, but people put it through pasta with walnuts and a bit of feta. I mean, I don't know, sage is a really strong herb, but I
can
love
go wrong,
it.
Sage. I have done it wrong, so I'm not.
I do not believe that, Trevor. I don't believe you would do anything wrong.
Come around and taste my sage.
Your sage.
The sage butter is a great one, of course. It's become very trendy too. However, you've got to say that the Mediterranean herbs, the oregano and thyme, are just out of this world smell-wise. They're the ones that if I'm putting with my onions and garlic, that's the one where no matter who walks into the kitchen cannot resist staying there for a while, you know, because they are quite spectacular. I do love lavender and rosemary. These are the Mediterranean ones. Lavender, for instance, is the mainstay of aromatherapy, and there's a lot of people see that as a health-giving relaxant. So that is part of the overall deal. You can use these in aromatherapy. But rosemary with potato wedges and focaccia, it's salty, it's delicious, smell is out of this world. Well, you're not going to escape gardening once you get these fresh, are you? You just need them, basically.
And lavender, what I like about lavender and rosemary is that they're actually hugely forgiving. Like you were saying earlier, they do keep on keeping on. Once you've got them established, really are a plant that you feel really fancy growing. Nothing like a bit of lavender through the house, you know, a little glass jar through the house. And rosemary, I agree. Rosemary, yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? I don't think it gets used enough.
No, if you're making bread, you should have rosemary because it goes well in all those Turkish breads and stuff like that. It goes very well with bread, I find, and it's also one of the best ones with potatoes. So potato wedges without rosemary is only doing half a job. And then, of course, it's loved by lamb too, so there's quite a lot. But to keep going, there's a lot of mints, actually. They're not everyone's favourite, but they do smell wonderful and they do taste fresh.
Now, I do have to throw in a Morocco moment. Oh, I went to Morocco, Trevor, in case you were wondering.
I was, yes.
In Morocco, you have mint tea. It is actually quite sweet. They put a lot of sugar in it because mint just grows everywhere. It's this wild herb in Morocco. And you'd have this mint and you'd have this beautiful, fresh mint tea. And so now, since I've come back, I love a mint tea because it kind of is just that lovely, reminds me of my holiday. But that and the lemon balm as well, that's another, actually lemon balm's another one that's just delightful to grow.
Oh, it grows too quickly. It grows too much. It's almost a pest. Both of those are considered pests in other parts of the world than Adelaide.
They are.
We put them in Adelaide, you just don't order them, they're gone.
You can't. You know, I just, with the mint and the lemon balm, I've got some mint growing around the edge of one of my fruit trees, and I just purposely tread on it because, there's, you know, it's not going to die. Mm. And that beautiful smell, just treading on it, that gorgeous smell.
Yeah, well, I recently made that Greek yogurt. What's it called? It's got tzatziki.
Oh, yum.
And you need mint for that. And there's a few dishes you need mint for. So keep it in a pot.
Keep it in a pot,
Don't put it in the herb garden because it's a little bit too vigorous. Keep it by a tap. Keep it watered. Keep cutting it off because the top leaves do go lousy and you've got to trim them and the new ones will come up beautiful. But it is needed, particularly around Christmas time. So I've coriander with dill and tarragon. The reason we are reading from a list here because who can remember all the herbs and all their properties? So the reason for that is that if you plant those three in spring, they will go to seed. Now that seems to be a problem. So I usually plant in autumn, in around about sort of March, April, because they get a longer period of growth before they go to seed. Now, it's not really a problem going to seed.
Dill, I love. I absolutely love. And I love coriander, and I used to get very upset when my coriander went to seed until I realised that the seeds are actually utterly delicious. It was one of those lovely gardening things. I was like, no. And then I thought, oh, that's funny. I'm sure I've seen coriander seeds in packets in the supermarket.
Yeah.
Tarragon, that's an interesting one because my understanding is it's used a lot in France and we don't use it much here.
Yeah, I know, that's true. I haven't used it much in cooking, but I'm growing it successfully at present.
Put it in with vinegar. So just get your white vinegar, grab your tarragon, put your fresh tarragon in there, pull it up, keep it, and you've got tarragon vinegar. Fabulous, easy.
Yeah, well, it is a leafy sort of thing. I look forward to experimenting with it. All you got to do these days is type in TARRAGON into the World Wide Web and you'll get plenty of recipes for it.
You will.
Now, I've included garlic, chives and onion. I do consider these herbs myself, even though onions must be, you know, carrots and celery, probably the most universal of all foods. But onions, when you grow them yourself, they're easy to grow. You can grow them from seed easily enough, although you have to weed them because they look a lot like weeds when they first come up. So it's just as well to buy some, wait for the, when you buy things like chives, you can just cut off the root section and put that in the ground and that will grow again. Garlic, you just have to wait for it to start shooting in the pantry. You pop that in again. Really, do it any time of the year. Don't listen to it, what anyone says. Just keep popping it in the garden. It grows beautifully. All oil. When you pick it fresh and you put it in the crusher, there's no flesh.
Look, it's just fabulous. It's so exciting to grow it. And the chives, the fact that you can just cut it and come cut it again. I mean, you can hang on to your chives for ages. Nice big handful over potatoes. I actually really love a big handful over potatoes, which is gorgeous.
Well, dill's good in potatoes. Rosemary's good in potatoes. Let's talk about potatoes next time.
I was going to say, this week's podcast will be potatoes. Now, I see you've got here, Trevor, borage and comfrey for the love of birds, bees and compost, and they're not usually eaten. Now, I must be an adventurous soul because I love the flower of borage in the salads, but you do have to be a bit careful because it can be a bit of a prickly herb, can't it? I know if you grab a handful enthusiastically, you will possibly wish that you had it. You have to be a bit careful. But the borage and comfrey, I guess, you're wanting to be attracting birds and bees, aren't you?
Yeah, I put them in easy growers, but you have a hard time getting rid of them, really.
Yeah.
But I'm into birds and butterflies and bees at present because there is a worldwide threat to them and I just don't want it to come here. So I am planting specifically for them. You know, sunflowers and a whole lot of other plants that you can grow specifically to bring them. And it does bring them, you know. They're just all butterflying in. They come, the wanderers seem to come from North America, you know. They're on in as though they're passing through. But I said before that it's the things that live in the garden that are just as interesting. I've noticed I've got two types of skink. I've got the ones I had before that's got the beautiful blue mural down the side of it, which is a sort of about a 6 to 8, 150 millimetre, 200 millimetre thing. And then I got this tiny snub-nosed tail one. I'm digressing, but that's why I put Burrage and Comfrey in, because Comfrey has got a root that goes down to the centre of the earth. You can never get rid of it once you've got it. All you got to do is just dig it out as much as you can, put it on your compost, and that deep root has brought up a lot of the minerals from low down in the soil, so it's seen as a very good compost activator.
It's actually, I love Comfrey. It's quite pretty in the garden too. It's got those great big leaves and they're really rich in colour, and almost like a big leafed herb that takes up some room, which is great. So that sort of ties in what we were talking about last week about cover your soil. And Comfrey does a fabulous job of that. And of course, like you said, Borage kind of goes wild. It pops up in places you hadn't planted it.
And it's quite a big shrub, a bit ungainly looking, but it brings the butterflies for sure and the birds, so they definitely love it. So put it in. Lovage and Chervil are the next two. I mean, there are so many herbs that we'll run out of time before we run out of herbs.
We will.
Chervil is grown by Maggie Beer, and she talks about it as though it's a parsley type thing. Now, two chervils I've tried to grow have been eaten by somebody else, not me. So I'm still going to try it. Lovage is powerful. It has a big leaf, and I believe you can eat that, but I haven't eaten it. So
there used to be another one where I think the French use it a lot, and it's quite a strong taste. But yeah, the same sort of thing. I've actually planted it this year, so I haven't picked any of it yet.
So ones that we're recommending you put in your first herb garden are basil, parsley, oregano, marjoram, thyme, lavender, rosemary, sage, coriander, dill, tarragon, garlic, chives, onions. So now your herb bed is full. We're looking at the other possibilities, and I do grow some other ones. I mean, I got lemon verbena as a tree, and that is the Rolls Royce of lemon smells.
And I can tell you that the reason I grew lemon verbena was because you'd made that lemon verbena cordial one time. I was so taken with it. So I've got a gorgeous lemon verbena. Another one, cut it back hard. Don't do what I did the first year. I thought, oh, it looked so pretty. I didn't want to do that. And it rewarded me with a pathetic amount of leaves the following year. So I cut it back very hard and I went, thank you very much. So yeah, fennel is another one, like you were saying, and fennel's a fantastic one.
Fennel does tend to hang around for 2 years. It probably shouldn't. I don't think commercial growers use it. They probably just harvest a lot, but it will grow a second year. It is a big white bulb. If you cut it thinly in your kitchen whiz under the fine slicing apparatus, you'd use it straight as a salad. It is very good. I think you'll enjoy fennel if you grow it, but you can also grow it as a veggie, basically. It is a veggie, I think. It has that aniseed taste that dill has got, and several of the others have got. Globe artichokes, well, they look a lot like Scotch thistle. In fact, you've got to be careful of your neighbours. They're likely to spray it for you. But it is very much like a Scotch thistle, except in the thistle, before it starts getting the thistly part, the part in the middle, it's actually very edible, and they sell it in supermarkets in cans. There's paired globe artichokes. It is in a lot of menus. It's not unknown. It is on pizzas and stuff like that, so it is known. But we use it, basically, we could cook it in butter and just eat the leaves.
I was going to say, that's how I had it first. You did it with steamed and with some sort of a garlic butter thing, and you dipped it, and you just, took forever to eat because it's sort of fiddly, but it was really nice. I loved it. And so I've got artichokes in again as well.
We've had them for years, but the climate this year wasn't right for them. Aloe vera, well, that's the one that you put on the burn, so that is basically, you can eat it, I believe. Why would you, though? It's probably better just as have it on the side in case you burn yourself, and it does get rid of that sting straight away.
I have a pot of aloe vera on the shelf in my classroom, and I've had it for years, and it's actually delightful to see the kids go over and break off a leaf and rub it on a sore, and getting rid of cold sores as well. Aloe vera, I swear by that. It just kind of soothes it. I think aloe vera is really amazing. I have seen that you can drink it, but I'm a bit like you, Trevor. I just think all the other delicious herbs you could eat, why would you bother with aloe vera? It's not, use it for what it's good for, sort of thing.
It's like the old spinach substitute. Everything's a spinach substitute, but have you ever seen spinach grow?
Yeah.
It doesn't need a substitute, you know.
Exactly. It's just like there's so much of it.
Mm.
So if we haven't encouraged you to race out and go and get some herbs and put them in a big pot. Start with a few, start with the pot. I think of all gardening as the one you become really very quickly addicted to.
Yep.
What are we going to talk about next time, Trevor?
Well, I don't know. Let's just say it might be spuds and sweet spuds.
I think we need to talk about spuds and sweet spuds because we talked about it a lot today and we need to tell people some more about fabulous potato fetish.
Well, potatoes too. I mean, when you grow them for yourself, you would not dream of taking the skin off them.
Never.
When you pick them fresh, that jacket that sits on the potato has got all the taste and all the goodness in it. Why would you peel it? But it's only when they've been in the supermarket for months that you peel them. So
thank you very much. This is Two Peas in a Podcast saying thank you from Michelle
and Trevor,
and we'll see you next time.